So starting with the top of Nun Beis Amid Beis, Ba'aminei, Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul may Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul asked a question of Rabbi. There was a fight among two Hasmonean brothers. When Aristobulus won, his brother Onias left Jerusalem and went to Alexandria and set up in Egypt a temple. There's a question whether this temple, it's called Beis Chonyo, was a place of idolatry or a place of service to God, just a violation of the prohibition of Shchutei Chutz, offering offerings outside of the temple. So Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul asked the question of Rabbi, Kalim Sheshimshu Ben Beis Chonyo, utensils that were used in this temple, in Alexandria, in Egypt, in Beis Chonyo, Maushi Shtamshu Ben Beis HaMikdash, can they be used in the Holy Temple in the Beis HaMikdash in Jerusalem? The question is, according to the opinion that this temple of Onias, of Beis Chonyo, was not a place of idolatry, because if it would be a place of idolatry, certainly it couldn't be used in the Beis HaMikdash anymore. But what about if it's not a place of idolatry, it's just a place of the sin of Shchutei Chutz, of offerings outside of the temple? Would that disqualify utensils? In other words, do we say that utensils that are not idolatrous utensils, but a sin was done with these utensils, these utensils become disqualified from service in the Beis HaMikdash? It's not even in a Mishnah, Kohanim Sheshimshu Beis Chonyo, if any of the priests, any of the Kohanim did service in Beis Chonyo, Lo Yishamshu B'Mikdash B'Yushalayim, they're not allowed to do service anymore in the temple in Yushalayim. Certainly, if they would do service for idolatry, they wouldn't be able to do service in Yerushalayim. So maybe Kohanim would consider Rabbanan. Maybe if the priests do the service, they get then fined and disqualified from Jerusalem. Mishum de bnei de'aninu, because they have intelligence. And why are they doing this terrible sin of Shchutei Chutz? Aval kelim, but utensils that don't have intelligence, lo, they don't become disqualified. Maybe there's no difference. Just like the Kohanim become disqualified for the sin of Shchutei Chutz, for the sin of doing a service outside of the temple, so too the utensils that they use that were part of the sin of Shchutei Chutz would be disqualified from being used in the temple. Amar Lei, so Rebbe responded to Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Asurim. These utensils are now disqualified. You can't use them in the Beis HaMikdash. We had a pasuk that was teaching us this idea that even a usage, not of idolatry, but of some other sin, can disqualify an object. V'shachnu, we forgot that verse. Esves, Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul then challenged Rebbe. There's a verse about the king Chizkiyahu. King Chizkiyahu was righteous. His father, King Achaz, was very wicked. King Achaz used utensils for idolatry. The verse says, "Kalakelim asher yisniach hamelech Achaz b'malchuso b'malo." All those utensils that King Achaz had desecrated by using it for idolatry, heichanu, we prepared them. They tell King Chizkiyahu, "Vikdashnu, we sanctified them." Ma'alav, doesn't it mean heichanu, we prepared them dat belinu, we put them in the mikvah, and then ikdashnu, then we sanctified them dat tishninu, then we sanctified them and started using them again in the temple. Now one second. The objects of the temple do not belong to an individual. They belong to the temple trust. Ein adam oser davar sheino shalo. A person doesn't have the ability to create a prohibition on what he doesn't own. So King Achaz, when he uses temple objects for idolatry, he can't create a prohibition. He doesn't own them. So it's not idolatrous objects, because he couldn't create a prohibition. It's just that there was a sin done with them. They were used for idolatry. And yet we see that they don't become disqualified. We then use them in the temple in the days of Chizkiyahu. So you see that if something was not didn't become an item of idolatry, it can be used in the temple. That's against what you're saying. You're saying that the objects of Beis Chonyo can't be used in the temple, because even though Beis Chonyo is not idolatry, it's not davar acher, but nevertheless a sin was done with these objects, so they can't be used in the temple. You see here that when a sin is done with an object, so long as the object does not become an idolatrous object, it can be used in the temple. Amalei, so Rebbe responded back, Baruch Atal HaShamayim. That's such a great question. Right. I bless you to heaven. You return to me what I forgot. You return to me the verse that I said I forgot. You're not understanding the verse correctly. The verse is my source. That verse is teaching me that an object used for a sin cannot be used in the temple service, even though it doesn't become an idolatrous object. You're right, King Ahaz did not own the objects of the temple. When he uses the objects of the temple for idolatry, he doesn't create a prohibition of idolatry on them because he can't own them. Since he doesn't own them, he can't create a prohibition of what he doesn't own. But what does it mean, heichanu, we prepared? We prepared means shegnaznu, we put them away. Hikdashnu, we dedicated. Hikdashnu acherim tachteyem. We created other utensils in place of these because these utensils are no good. Why are these utensils no good? Not because they became idolatrous utensils, because they can't, because Ahaz didn't own them. He can't create a prohibition what he doesn't own. But they became no good because they were used for a sin. Yes, for the sin of idolatry, but they were used for a sin. So you see that an object used for a sin, even though it's not an idolatrous object, can become disqualified. So the utensils in Beis Chonyo that are used for the sin of Shchutei Chutz, of slaughter outside of the temple, become disqualified and can't be used in the temple in Jerusalem. But they still, they don't belong to him yet. They belong to the temple. So Leibim Misayele. So now the Gemara says, maybe I can prove Rebbe's point. That even when you don't own something, and therefore you can't make it idolatrous, you just did a sin with it, it becomes disqualified. From what we learned in a Mishnah in Masechet Midos. Masechet Midos is all about the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. So it teaches there about a special room, a room that had a big fire in it. Lishkas Beis HaMokeid. It had different corners and different closets in the corners. Mizrachis Tzfonis, the northeastern closet. What was in it? Ba'ganzu Beis Chashmonayis Avnei HaMizbeach. There, the Hasmonean dynasty put away the stones from the altar. Now, why did they have to put away the stones from the altar? Sheshaktzu anche Yavan. Because the Greeks, when they were over the temple, they used the altar for idolatry, so they made these stones disqualified. Now, one second. The Greeks don't own the stones. They don't own the altar. They don't own the Beis HaMikdash. How could their acts of idolatry create an idolatrous status? They can't create an idolatrous status. Ein adam osur davar sheino shelo. Person cannot prohibit what he doesn't own. If I go and I bow in front of your house, that's not going to make your house prohibited. I can't prohibit what doesn't belong to me. So therefore, how did the Greeks create a problem? Must be, even though it's not idolatrous, since a sin was done with it. The sin of using it for idolatry. It didn't become an idolatrous item, but the sin was done with it. A sin makes it already disqualified for the temple. That's why they had to put it away. That's like what Rebbe is saying, that the utensils of Beis Chonyo, even though they're not idolatrous, because in Beis Chonyo they don't even worship idols, they just do worship God, but outside of the temple, become disqualified from the temple.
But is disqualified, is that equal as Tameh, or is it different?
Depends on the situation. One second, we'll see you in a second about that. Rav Shesha said, what had happened with the stones of the altar was Sheshaktu Lavodas Kolchavim. They used it for idolatry. Rav Papa said that's not a proof. We're saying that those are items that didn't really become idolatrous because they didn't belong to the Greeks. No. Hasam Krashkach, there's a Pasuk, Vidarash, which teaches you that the Greeks by right make it idolatrous. The Chsiv, because the verse says about capture by the Gentiles. Uvo ba paritzim, and the brazen ones will enter into it, v'chilulua, and they will desecrate it. There's a special verse that says that when the Gentile enemies conquer a holy item, then by special command of the verse, the holiness leaves the item. So that's what happened. The Greeks came in and they conquered Jerusalem. When they conquered Jerusalem, all the sanctity left. Once the sanctity left, then it became ownerless. Once it became ownerless, the Greeks acquired it from a state of being ownerless. So then when the Greeks were using it, it was their item, which they created, in fact, a status of being idolatrous on the item. So now the item had to be put away.
Forever?
So one second. So the Gemara says, why did they have to put it away forever? Amri. So they said like this. Hey, Chinevet, what are we going to do? Now that we conquered it back from the Greeks, what are we going to do? Nitbarinu, to break these stones, because they've become idolatrous and thereby make new stones out of them. Now we can't use it for the altar anymore, because the altar has to be Avanim Shlemo Samarachman. It has to be whole stones, not broken stones. Ninasrinu, let's break them, and after we break them, let's sand them down, so now they don't look like broken pieces, they'll look whole. That's also not good, because Lotanif Aleim Barzel Amrachman, Hashem says you're now allowed to put metal on top of the stones of the altar. So the Gemara says, but why did they have to put them away? Vamai. Okay, they became idolatrous because the Greeks, when they conquer it, take away the sanctity. So now the Greeks own it. Now the Greeks use what they own for idolatry. It becomes idolatrous. But still, litvarinu, let them break the stones, which will take away the impurity. Felishkalinu enough shayu, and let them take them for themselves. Milom Rav Osha, didn't Rav Osha say? Bikshu lignos kol kesef v'zav sheba'olam, that after the loss of the temple, the rabbis wanted to say all gold and silver has to be put away. Why? Mishum kasper v'dav v'shal Yerushalayim, because most of the gold and silver around is gold and silver from Jerusalem, and the gold and silver from Jerusalem has sanctity. Avinama, we ask 1 second, Yerushalayim av Yeruba da'alma, is Jerusalem the majority of the world? Elam Rabbi Abai said, Bikshu lignos din rei hadrayana turiyana, they wanted to put away the stone, the coins that had on them Hadrians, and that had on them Trajans. Chief of the new ones, Ipnei Tiva show Yerushalayim, because many of those coins were from Jerusalem, from the temple. But until they find the verse that we quoted earlier, that no, now that there was a destruction, the brazen ones came, when the brazen ones conquered Jerusalem, Jerusalem loses its sanctity, so therefore we don't have to put away all these coins. So you see,
were like melted, used the melted down gold from the Beit HaMikdash?
No, because there were donations to the Beit HaMikdash. There were shkalim, so those were a large part of the coins. So what do you see there? That the coins themselves, they thought they were all prohibited because they thought these were temple coins. And they realized they're not prohibited because they've lost their sanctity. And therefore they used them for their own personal businesses. So why did the Hasmoneans put away the stones of the altar? Because the Greeks had conquered it and thereby taken away the sanctity. Then the Greeks had used it for idolatry, so they had put an idolatrous status on it. Once the Jews conquered from the Greeks, break those stones and use it for your own personal business, the same way the coins are being used nowadays for personal business. Answer the Gemara, no, there's a difference. Hasam, when you talk about coins that are sitting in the temple treasury, those coins were never used for a divine purpose. So now, once they lose their sanctity, everybody can go back to using them. But over here, when we talk about the stones of the altar, these were used for God, they were used in the altar. It's just not right for now a person to use it himself. So that's what the Greeks, the Hasmoneans had no choice. To use it themselves, they couldn't, because it wouldn't be right to use something which was used for God for themselves. To use it for the altar again, they couldn't, because once the Greeks had come in, the sanctity had been removed. When the sanctity had been removed, it became Hefker. Once it became Hefker, the Greeks acquired it, and then the Greeks used it for idolatry. Once they used it for idolatry, and it was theirs that they were using for idolatry, it becomes prohibited. To try to break it, to remove the impurity and remake it, then you can't use it for the altar anymore. So therefore, they have to put it all away.
But they never owned it, because they took it over by force of sword.
That's right, but the special verse says that even when you take over by force of sword, you own it. Uvo ba'paritza v'chilalua, when the brazen ones come in, they desecrate it, they take away its sanctity.
It's
a special verse.
There's
a special verse that when the non-Jews conquer parts of the temple, that part of the temple loses its sanctity.
You can't bring it to the mikveh or something like this?
No, it loses its sanctity.
And the oil that was sealed during Hanukkah, that was because it was sealed.
And they did it exactly, so they didn't conquer that. That's right. Next Mishnah. Ovid kochav mevatel avodas kochav shalom v'shel chavero. A Gentile can annul the status of idolatry if he owns the idol, and even if his friend owns the idol. However, Yisraelim bevat lavodes kochavim shel Ovid kochavim. A Jew cannot annul the identity of an idol of a Gentile. Hamavat lavodes kochavim. If a person annuls the idol, mevat l'mishamshah. So all those implements that serve the idol also lose their identity. Bitul mishamshah. But if he annuls the implements, mishamshin mutar. The implements become permitted. The asura, but the idol itself stays prohibited. Says the Gemara. Masni la Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi taught his son Rabbi Shimon. Ovid kochavim, mevat lavodes kochavim shalov shel chavero. A Gentile can annul his idol, and he can annul the idol of his friend. Amar le, says son, said to him, Rabbi, my father, shanis lanu bial dusecha. But when we were children, you taught us something different. You said, Ovid kochavim, mevat lavodes kochavim shalov shel Yisrael. That a Gentile can annul his idol, and he can even annul an idol. He can even annul an idol that belongs to him and to a Jew. So, in second, the Yisrael Mikum Avatla, how could he annul an idol of a Jew? Vavasam Baseser Ksev. We learned yesterday that the idols of the Jew have to be put away because they can't be annulled. Amreb Hillel, Breid Reb Valis, Lo Nitzuch HaShiyesh LeBashutfus. What it means is that if the Jew has a partnership with the non-Jew, so since the non-Jew can annul his portion, it also works on the Jewish portion. And then when he was older, he regretted that idea. So the Gemara asks, Be'al Duso Michael Saver, V'Zeknuso Michael Saver. What was he thinking when he was younger? What was he thinking when he was older? Answers the Gemara, Be'al Duso, when Rebbe was younger, he figured like this. Saver Yisrael, Adai T'Dovik Kochavim Palach. If a Jew and a non-Jew are partners in an idol, the Jew's not really believing in the idol. He's just following along with the non-Jew because he wants to, you know, be popular with his non-Jew. But he doesn't really believe in it. So therefore, kiven d'ovid kochav mevatla d'nafshe, when the non-Jew annuls his part of it, the Yisrael not mevatla, it also annulled the portion of the Jew. But b'ziknuso suffered. Once he got older, he changed his mind. He figured, no, Yisrael adat d'nafshe palach. If a Jew is a partner in an idol, then the Jew is also worshipping and believing that idol. So then, when a non-Jew annuls his portion, fine, that works on his portion. But the Yisrael lo batel, it didn't work on the Jewish portion because the Jew worshipped it, the Jew believed in it. So now the non-Jew can't annul what a Jew believes in. There's some who teach this lesson on the end of the Mishnah. Yisrael ain't mevatel over his kochavim, shel over kochavim. A Jew can't annul an idol that belongs to a non-Jew. Pshita, of course, it's obvious. Reb Hillel Breid, Reb Valis, Reb Hillel, the son of Reb Valis, explained. Lo Nitzrucha, we're talking about Elishiyesh LeBashutfis. We're talking about whether the Jew is a partner with the non-Jew in it. Kamash Malan, it's teaching you like this. Yisrael, Udala Mavatel, Dovid Kochav. If a Jew is trying to annul the idol that he and the non-Jew owned together, that wasn't annulled. Havalovid Kochav, the Nashim Mavatel. But if the non-Jew is annulling, then the non-Jew can annul his portion. And then there are those who teach the teaching of Reb Hillel ben Vralis on a braisa. The braisa is Reb Shimon ben Asi teaches, Avodas Kochavim Shal Yisrael Ein Lo Batei Lo Olamis, an idol of a Jew can never be annulled. My Olamis, what does it mean never? I'm Reb Hillel ben Vralis, Lo Nitzucha Ela Sheyesh Lo Ovid Kochavim Ba Shutfis. We're talking about when the non-Jew has a partnership in it. V'kamash Malan, so the point is, the Yisrael adaita d'nafshei palach. A Jew is worshipping the idol. He's worshipping his part of it, and he's believing in his part of it. So since he believes in his part of it, therefore the non-Jew, when he annuls, can't annul the portion of the Jew forever.
Can a Jew annul the portion of another Jew, Rabbi?
No. No.
Just to clarify.
Jew can never annul his own.
He said that he never planned.
We're going to see in a second what that is. Ketz anavatla. How does a person annul an idol? Says the Gemara like this. Kata rosh azna. If the non-Jew comes and he cuts off the head of the ear of the idol. Rosh chotma, the head of the nose. Rosh etzba, the head of the finger. Pachsa, if he beats it into a new shape. He turns it, takes away its features, but now making just like a block of metal, even though he didn't take any bit of it away. Bitla, he's annulled it. However, if the non-Jew gets angry at his idol, and in a fit of anger, Ruk b'fanah, he spits at it, Hishtim b'fanah, he urinates in front of it, Gara, he drags it, Zark b'asetso, he throws excrement at it, sorry, Harezu'enu b'tela, that's not an annulment, because he's just angry in the moment. He's going to calm down, he's going to go back to this idol worship. What about Machra? What about if he sells the idol? Omishkana, or he takes a loan, he gives the idol as a mortgage. So Rabbi Omer Bito, Rabbi says that's a sign of disgracing, that's an annulment of the idol. Chacham Omer Lo Bito, Chacham say Lo, no, it's not a disgracing, it's not an annulment of the idol. Okay, so the Mishnah says that if he beat it, but he didn't reduce any of it, it still loses its status of an idol. So Kilo Chasra, so the Gemara says if he didn't lose any of its metal, but my Bitla, why is it an act of annulment? Omer Rebzeir, Shepachsa, Bifanel, because he's beating it in its face, so he's ruining the shape. By ruining the shape, he's taking away its honor. But taking away the honor is a sign that he doesn't believe in it anymore. So then it's no longer has the status of an idol. Rakat Bifanel. But if he's angry and he spits, Fehishtim Bifanel, or urinates, that's not going to annul it. Not immediately. How do we know that? That he's going to go back to his old ways when he calms down. Amar Chizka, Chizka said, Amar Kod, the Pasuk says about the people who worship Avodah Zarah from the 10 tribes, it'll be when he's hungry. Viskatse, if he gets angry, and he curses his king and God, and he turns to heaven to ask God to save him. But then what does it say afterwards? But then he goes back to looking again, to the earth and to the idols. V'netzar v'chashecha, and again there's darkness. In other words, because what do the people do? They're stuck with their bad habits. Even though he cursed his king and his God, and he turned above to turn to heaven. Then he goes back to turning to earth.
You said if you deface them, it loses its value?
If they're going to face it.
But didn't we learn that even if you smash them and make them into powder, you cannot even use them as a Jew?
That was a Jew who was breaking it. Or a Jewish-owned idol. Yeah, that wasn't a nullification. That's right. It was not nullification.
Oh, it was not.
That's right. Then the Mishnah speaks about what happens if he sells the idol or he mortgages the idol. Then you have an argument between Rabbi and the Chachamim. Machro Mishkana, Rabbi Amar Bitul, Chachamim say, didn't annul it. Zihiri Amar, Zihiri explained in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba said in the name of Rav. Chad Amar, one explained, Machlokus Betzori for Vikochavim. The argument between Rabbi and the Chachamim is when he sells the idol to a Gentile metal worker. According to Rabbi, by selling it to the Gentile metal worker, he knows that the metal worker is going to melt it down, so he's annulling it. According to the Chachamim, he figures, no, since the Gentile metal worker, he's going to worship it the same way I worship it. So he's not annulling it. Avul b'tzor if Yisrael, but if the Gentile sells his idol to a Jewish metal worker, Divri Akol, everybody agrees, Bita, that that's an annulment, because he knows that the Jew is going to melt it down. So he is annulling it. He's taking away its special status. The Chad Amar, but the other opinion was said, no, B'tzor if Yisrael, Machlokas. The argument is about selling it to a Jewish metal worker. According to Rabbi, it's an annulment, and according to the Chacham, it's not an annulment. Ibailu, they had a question in the yeshiva. Now, if you say B'tzor if Yisrael, Machlokas, that the argument is about selling it to a Jewish metal worker, Avol Tzor if Ovi Kocham Divri Akol Lo Bitel, maybe then selling it to the non-Jewish metal worker, everybody agrees it's not an annulment, because the non-Jew, when he sells his idol to the non-Jewish metal worker, is figuring, oh, that guy's going to worship it like I worship it. Odilmer, maybe the point is Bein Bazeh Machlokas, the argument is about both cases, both with a Jewish metal worker and with a non-Jewish metal worker. Tashma, come in here, proof to Amar Rabbi. Rabbi said, Nirin Dvarai, I think that my opinion that a sale annuls it is true. Kishamachra lachabra, when it was sold to be broken apart. The Divrei Chaveirai, in the view of the sages, that a sale does not annul it. Shamachra lovda, when it was sold to be worshipped. In other words, my lachabra, my lovda. So what does it mean? When is it sold to be broken apart? When is it sold to be worshipped? Ilim lachabra mamish, if literally it was sold and the guy buying it says, I'm buying it to break it apart. Lovda, to worship, is that the guy buying it saying? I'm buying it to worship it. Lovda mamish. My time of the man damar bitel. Why would anyone say that if you're selling it to worship it, that it's been annulled? Where is it being annulled? Well, my time of the man damar lo bitel. And if it was being sold to be broken apart, how could anyone say it's not being annulled? Elalas, what does it mean, lechabla, when he says the sale to be broken apart? Lemishasa lechabla, sale to a person that is likely going to break it apart. Umani, who's that? Or if Yisrael, a Jewish craftsman. Lovda, when it was a sale to be worshipped. Lemishasa lovda, when it was a sale to a person who would likely worship it. Umanu tzarif ovid kochavim, that is a craftsman who is a non-Jew. Ushmaminas, you see from the Rebbe's words, bein bazeh machlokas. In both, really, there's the argument, and Rebbe is saying, even though there's an argument in both, I think that I'm right in the case of the Jewish craftsman. I think I'm wrong in the case of the non-Jewish craftsman. So Gemara says, "Lo, that's not what's going on here." Hachikam, this is what Rebbe is saying. I'm a Rebbe is saying, "Nirin dvar lechaveirai." My friends agreed to my words. Kishamachal lechabra, when it was sold to be destroyed. Umanu tzer if you sold to a Jewish craftsman. Shav chaver lo nechleku alai ela kishamachra leovda. Because even my friends were only arguing when it was sold to the non-Jewish craftsman. Aval lechabla, but to the Jewish craftsman, moduli they agree that it is annulled. So not that there are two arguments. Maybe there's only one argument.
So a Jew cannot annul a idol of a Gentile.
Correct.
But can he buy it, pay money for it, and then destroy it?
Once the non-Jew annuls it, yes.
But no, he doesn't annul it. He just sells it to a Jew.
So the question is selling an idol to a Jewish metal worker by definition an annulment? If it's not by definition an annulment, then if the Jew gets it before it was annulled,
it can never be annulled. He doesn't own it
depends
anymore.
If he picked it up. Well, a sale is
now
not
the
enough.
Jew owns it.
You have to pick something up to acquire it. You would only own it once he picks it up. So So Meisve, they asked in the yeshiva, for we lived in a brisa, halokeach kutos, if somebody buys pieces of broken pieces of silver, minobet kochavim, from a non-Jew, matzah b'henav, what is kochavim, and he finds in this package of broken pieces of silver an idol, imach lo nasan mos mashach, if he hasn't yet paid the money, but he's already pulled all these pieces, yasir, just give it back to the non-Jew, and let the non-Jew annul it, and then he can take it, because he hasn't acquired it yet. However, but if he already paid the money and he now pulled it, so now he owns it. So once the Jew owns it, he can't do anything. He has to throw this idol into the Dead Sea. Now, says the Gemara, here it's talking about selling to a Jew. If you saw machlok, as if you say that when an idol is sold to a Jewish craftsman, there's an argument, then you can say, Amani Rebbe, this is the view of Rebbe, that the sale itself didn't annul it. Amani Rabbanan, this is the view of the Rabbanan, that the sale didn't annul it. Eli, but if you're going to say, but sorry for we call him machlokas, the only argument is about a non-Jewish craftsman. Alva, but sorry if you sold every alcohol detail, but when you sell to a Jewish craftsman, everybody agrees it's annulled. So how money, so who's this? So my answer, shiny hustle, the price was different. The adaita de kuto sabin. He was selling for broken pieces. He wasn't selling for the Avodah Zarah. He didn't know that there was an Avodah Zarah there amongst the broken pieces. And therefore, since he didn't know there was an Avodah Zarah there, he certainly wasn't annulling the Avodah Zarah by selling it. Tana Rabbanu lived in a braisa. Lava aleha, oh, shenafla aleha mapolas. Let's say the non-Jew takes his idol, and he takes a loan, and he gives the idol as a mortgage for the loan. As a guarantee for the loan. Or a avalanche of stones falls on his idol. Oh, shegnavua listin. Or thieves stole the idol, and he's not trying to get it back. Oh, shenichua bailim v'ochelim v'nisayam. Or if he left the idol and he went away. So, im asidim lachzor, if they're intending to come back. Kimel chemes Yoshua, like the Amorites, wanted to come back in the war against Yoshua. Ain't a betela, then it doesn't lose its identity. And it doesn't lose its idolatrous status. Utsricha, the Bryce had to talk about all these different cases. Ditana Lavalev would have said that he took a loan and he gave it as the guarantee. So Mita Lozap, and I would have thought from the fact that he didn't sell it, he just took a loan. That's a sign that Lo Bitla, he's not annulling it. But if an avalanche falls on it, if he's not cleaning away the stones, that's a sign that he is annulling it. So I have to tell you that even with an avalanche falling on it, it's not a sign yet that he's annulled it. It would have told you that when an avalanche falls on it, it's not necessarily an annulment. You shouldn't disavar hamunachas because the idol is still there. So he figures the idol is fine. It's under a bunch of stones, but it's fine. It's just got stones under it. But you know, whenever I will want the idol, Shakil Nala, I'll be able to take it. I'll just remove the stones. That's why it's not an annulment. Avol Gunvua listen, but if thieves steal it, I would think that if he's not running after it, that's a sign that he no longer considers it a god. Tzricha, that's, I have to tell you all of these cases. Vitan, if I'd have told you the case of Gunvua listen, when the thief stole it and he's not running after it, it's not an annulment. Mishum Desavar, Yovi Kochavim Shakila, because maybe he's thinking if it was a non-Jewish thief, Miflach Palachla, he'll use it to worship it. Yisrael Shakla, if a Jew took it, I did the Me'a Yukarin, since it's very valuable. He's going to sell it to some non-Jew, and the non-Jew is going to worship it, so my idol is still going to be safe. But in Yichua, but the fact that owners leave an idol and neglect it, and they go travel away, the fact that they're not taking the idol with them, that maybe is a sign of Betulei Batlei. That's certainly an annulment. Tzricha, that's why I have to teach you all these four cases, that all these four cases are not necessarily an annulment.
We said they are annulment at the end, right? Because we need to teach them all, because we think they wouldn't be. But it's hard to understand.
No, we say if they're intending to come back, like the Amorayim were going to come back,
right.
It has not been annulled.
Right, but implying that if you don't plan on taking it out of the stones or whatever, it would be annulled.
If you weren't ever planning to come back, right.
So I guess my question is, normally we would say that's like yeish, right? You gave up, but it doesn't mean you nullified it. It seems like a Avodah Zarah is different. Like, it's not about enough to just give up on it. You have to nullify it.
Yeah,
you're
that's right.
You're not nullifying it because you're being lazy.
That's right. Lazy is not necessarily a proof of annulment. But remember, annulment means that he doesn't consider it a god anymore. So we're just saying these actions are not a proof that he doesn't consider it a god. He might still consider it a god. He thinks his god is taken care of.
Rabbi, if it's something from somebody that's not even around to annul it anymore, that means it can never be annulled.
It might not be able to be annulled. Well, another non-Jew can annul it.
Another non-Jew can annul it.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, B'chachem, we found all this stuff from the temple that was somewhere. Some non-Jew could annul it for us?
Well, you're right, because that's not this issue, because that's not idolatry. Right. If we'd find the things from the temple, if we find the things from the temple, if the non-Jews had conquered it, then they took away the sanctity of those items.
We can reverse it.
We could reverse the sanctity.
We can reverse.
I'm saying the sanctity was removed, so it's already
so the sanctity
secular.
Can never be brought back.
You'd have to reconsecrate it, but the sanctity is lost once the non-Jews conquer it.
Rabbi, isn't it a problem for a Jew to take an idol as a collateral? Because
maybe a non-Jewish lender.
First, you have to get in the basement of Vatican and first, lender. And then
right.
We worry about that later.
Jew can't take an idol as a collateral.
Correct.
Right? Because
you're benefiting from it.
So in all these cases, it's not an altar, or it is an altar.
These cases are all not annulment.
Not at all. Okay.
So we said in the Brisa, if the homeowner who left is planning to come back, like in the war with Yoshua, it's not annulled. So Gemara says, but when the Amorayim fought with Yoshua, did they come back? They never came back. They were killed. So what do you mean if they come back like the Amorayim? This is what it means. If when they left the home, they thought they were going to come back, that's like the idolatry of the days of the war with Yoshua. And it didn't lose its identity. Why do we have to talk about the war with Yoshua? It's telling you something important. Like what Rav Yehuda taught in the name of Rav Yisrael, Shazakov Levena, Lishtachavos La, a Jew who puts up a cinder block in order to bow to it, but he hasn't yet bowed to it. And a non-Jew comes and bows to it, Asra. That does create a prohibition, even though it's not his. Because since the Jew is showing that he wants to have idolatry, when the non-Jew does it on his behalf, it's his shaliach, and he makes it into an idol. And that we learned from the story with the war with Yoshua. That's where we connect to that war. Minelan da Asra, how do we know that if a non-Jew bows to what a Jew set up, it can create a prohibition? Amr Belazar, Belazar explained, Kitzchila shel Eretz Yisrael, this is like what we had when we first went into the land of Israel. Dam Rachman, Hashem says, when you go into the land, Vasharihem tisrifun ba'esh. Burn all of their idolatrous trees. Mechti, 1 second. Yushilahem avoseim. The land of Israel belongs to us from the days of Avram Avinu. Veina the Moser Davar Sheino Shalo. The non-Jews shouldn't be able to prohibit anything because you can't prohibit it, which is not yours. Vimishim hanachta meikar. And if you're going to say, well, there were trees there from before the days of Avram Avinu. Again, why do you have to burn those? Bebitula ba'alma sagiluhu. It would be enough to just annul them. Ella, so what's the answer? Midapalchi Yisrael Egel, once the Jews worshipped the golden calf, at that moment they're showing that they like idolatry. So when they like idolatry, v'chiyasu of the kochavim, when the non-Jews then in the land of Israel went and worshipped the trees, they were doing our task that we gave them. And then they made the trees prohibited. So Achanami, so that's the law here too. Yisrael Shazaka Flavena, if a Jew puts up an idol or a cinder block to worship it, Galia died to Denichle Bavodas Kochavim. That's showing that he likes idolatry, even if the Jew then doesn't worship it yet, because he's lazy. V'chiyasa v'kochavim upalachla, and a non-Jew comes and worships it. Shlichusa didei kochavim, he's doing the emissary of the Jew, and he creates a prohibition. So Gemara says, 1 second, how could you say that all the Asheros were prohibited because since we worship the golden calf, that shows that we like idolatry. Maybe we like golden calves. We don't like other idols. So the Gemara says, no, because look in the golden calf. What did it say in last week's parsha? The pasuk says, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. These are your gods, O Israel. Gods. That shows that we wanted lots of gods. So the Gemara says, still, maybe all those trees that were there in the times of the Egel were prohibited. But the trees after the times of the Egel, this tree should be permitted because these are Jewish-owned trees and the non-Jews cannot create a prohibition on them. So the Gemara says, Man Mucha, who can tell us which tree is from when? Who can tell us which tree is from the times of the Egel, which tree is from later? Since nobody can tell us, all of them had to be destroyed. All right, next, Mishnah, talking about annulment of Avodah Zarah. Avodas Kochavim Shehinichua Ovdeha. Let's say an idol was deserted by those who worship it and they left. Bishah Shalom, and if they left in a time of peace, Muteres. Since they left and they didn't take it with them, they've certainly annulled it. But if they left because of war, Asura, it's still prohibited because maybe they wanted to take it with them. They didn't take it because they were in a rush to get away from the war. But maybe they're intending to come back for it or to send somebody else to bring it to them. All right, talking about attendants of idols. Bimusuo Shomalachim, these stones that were set up to put idols on top of them. And they're on all the roads as the kings pass by. When the king passes by, they put an idol there and the king bows to it. Reilu mutaros, these bases are permitted, they are not prohibited. Mipneshim amidin osan, b'shash amalachim ovrim, because these stones will only be a base for an idol only when the king passes by. But the king doesn't pass by, they're not intended to be a base for an idol, and therefore they're not considered all the time an attendant of an idol. Am Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Marav, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba is the name of Rav, base Nimrod. The big tower that was built in Nimrod's country. It's like an idol that was deserted by those who worship it in a time of peace, and it's permitted. Because even though when God scattered them, it's like a war, they have to run away. But later they could have come back. If they wanted to come back, they could have come back. Since they didn't come back, that's a sign that Betulei Batla, they've annulled it, and therefore the Zagurats in Iraq are permitted.